oldest translations of the Hebrew Bible in existence. And so it's very, very important. It's really, in the translation of the book of Ruth is really interesting. Okay, so we're going to keep talking about that. All right, let's see, where we're at, we're verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that Jehovah had visited his people in giving them bread. Now, you notice that in your English Bibles, in the book of Ruth, or anywhere else in the Old Testament, any time that the word Lord in capital letters is written out in capital, all caps, it's Jehovah. That is the sacred name. Amen. It is God is not a name. God is a title. Mm-hmm. Jehovah is a name. It's the name he declared. Mm-hmm. Said, this is who I am. But that is a name, and every time that they the English translators encountered that name in the Hebrew, they wrote it out Lord in all caps.
Thank you, Jesus.
But I went ahead and just wrote it out. I just wrote it out like it is in the Hebrew. Now, some people pronounce it Yahweh. I don't think that's the way they pronounced it. Jehovah is not entirely correct either, because there is no J sound in Hebrew. There's no J sound. There is no J sound in Hebrew. But there's no W sound either. There's no W sound.
I don't know that.
So it would be Jehovah, and I think is the way it's pronounced, or Yehovah perhaps was the way it was pronounced. But anyway, all right. So we're in verse six. So they heard that Jehovah had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. Jehovah do with you chesed, as you have done with the dead and with me. All right, now this is the first time in the book of Ruth that we run into the word chesed. Naomi says, go back, girls. This is as far as, you know, I can't help you. I'm done. I can't help you anymore. I have nothing. As a few verses later, we're going to see that she said, I went out full, but Jehovah has brought me home empty. She had nothing. She said, go on back. And may Jehovah do chesed with you as you have done with me. Now, what does that mean? Chesed, well, we're going to study it. We're going to talk about how it works. But chesed is something, it is the outworking of something that is owed. It is the outworking of a duty. Chesed is the outworking of a duty that one owes to another. It's not like mercy or pity, where you dole it out on somebody that has no connection to you whatsoever. This duty where chesed comes into play can arise out of relationship. The duty is born out of some relationship that you have with this person. The relationship can be based on many things, but the relationship that we a lot of times think about would be parent and child, husband and wife. It is not mercy. No, it is not mercy. And another way is between friends. even master and servant. The master owed his servant a duty of chesed, and so on and so forth. It wasn't very much of a duty. But in the Hebrew, under the Hebrew law, even then a master owed his servant some duty of care. So another way that chesed comes into play is through a covenant. If you enter into a covenant with somebody, then chesed comes into play. For example, the Abrahamic covenant. When God made a covenant with Abraham, God obligated himself and committed himself to do chesed because he's faithful. He is faithful who promised. If you make promises to somebody, you have entered into a relationship with that person. And chesed demands that you honor your word.
Yeah. Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Chesed honors its word. You don't make empty promises. A man or woman of chesed keeps his or her word. Even if it's hard, you keep your word. And of course, we have a relationship with God.
Amen.
That's born out of various different scenarios. We're espoused to Christ as a chaste virgin. We are espoused. And in espousal, of course, a covenant is exchanged, or promises are exchanged, at least implicitly anyhow. A person who is espoused, they are duty bound to be faithful to that person. That's, you know, in the Old Testament way, not, you know, necessarily even today. If you're engaged to somebody, there are certain things that there's certain requirements, you're certain obligation, you're obligated to that person. Not like you're married necessarily, but you're still obligated. In the Old Testament, it basically wasn't any different. An espousal was basically the same thing as being married. You had the same duties and responsibilities toward one another as if you had already gone through and consummated.
In Matthew, when it's talking about Jesus, Mary was
expelled. Exactly.
He calls her his wife.
Exactly. That is exactly that they are married for all purposes that we understand today. They were as married as if they had said, "I do." And so, where it says that we're espoused to Christ, we are as obligated to Christ as we'll ever be. Okay. That is absolutely, and he is obligated to us.
Amen.
To protect us, to take care of us, and provide for us. And so,
that takes the word faithful in the Bible.
Absolutely. So he is faithful. He is faithful. He is duty bound.
Yes.
God is duty bound.
Glory.
Jesus.
To us, to take care of us, to provide for us, to protect us, to keep his promises. He is duty bound. He is absolutely duty bound. What he gives to us is not mercy.
Yes, no, it's not mercy.
It's an obligation that he has obligated himself. He has willingly obligated himself to us.
Jesus.
By the complicated relationship between him and Christ, you know, and through the redemption process, we are Christ in we stand in his shoes.
You know, we even said this way, we're not no more our own. We've been bought with a price.
We are bought with a price and we are not our own.
Jesus.
Amen. That's the truth. Another place Paul said, you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Now that's very important to remember when we get to chapter 4. But we're going to see that Chesed, so Naomi and Ruth had a duty of Chesed to one another.
Jesus.
Now, how deep is that well? That sort of depends on how good of a person you are, okay? Jesus. And we're going to find out that a valiant woman like Ruth is a pretty deep well.
Yeah.
Glory.
Okay. So we'll leave it off at that point. Let's see. Verse 7, I guess. Now, verse 8. Okay, praise the Lord.
Joanne, I want to share this. He was saying that. The bag that rolls the deep well.
Whoa.
I wasn't going to say it. What's his uplifter? I thought of you.
Oh, how sweet you are.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
That is true, Sister Mary.
I know it's true.
Chesed in a valiant woman is a deep well.
Yes, and Joanne's a deep well.
She is a deep well.
Jesus.
That is true.
Jesus.
Glory to God.
Amen.
You know, that's a blessing.
I'm sorry, brother.
That's
got
fine.
Woo! Glory. Hallelujah.
That's good, though. We, you know.
Thank you, Lord. Did you get that on tape?
Yeah, I got it.
I'm going to hear that again sometime. Praise God.
Jesus.
That's a treasure. Jesus, Jesus. Hear more than more.
What I got today is simple.
Jesus.
I noticed in verse 4 that Orpah was named first, and then Ruth. And that just kind of stuck with me. Wow, you know.
That's true.
She's there for a reason. But when Ruth said, when she said to her daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house, the Lord deal kindly with you, or Chesed.
Yes.
As ye have dealt with me, with the dead, and with me. Orpah turned, she went back,
yes,
but Ruth
did.
Stayed with her. Ruth had determination not to give. If the word of God put Orpah first because she was greater in character and in faith than Ruth, Ruth stuck with it.
Orpah's well wasn't very deep.
Yeah.
And
the thing that stood out is determination. When everything looks logically to do the wrong thing and you stick with what's right because it's right.
That's right. Amen.
And, you know, one scripture says the race is not given to the swift or strong, but to those that endure to the end.
That's true. Glory to God.
And that's the kind of determination that God can build. That's foundational. Whereas when the commitment don't run deep, that's not foundational. And, you know, when the apostles were on the scene, the church had that foundational structure more than after when they died, because false prophets come to challenge everything. The enemy, he's always giving you bad news. He's always trying to influence you wrong. But when you are so determined that you're going to follow through with what God has given you,
that's right.
Jesus.
And you see a godly opportunity and you won't let it go. You're like Caleb.
That's
you
right.
know, I could picture That's that bulldog
right.
with a
That's
with
right.
a rib in his mouth. He will not let it go.
Jesus.
And Ruth stuck with Naomi. She stuck
yes, she
with
did.
The plan of God. She stayed determined. And sometimes when the Lord give me something to do, I just want to see what'll happen.
Yeah.
And the things that he brings to me that I didn't pray for. He just started. Some teachers, he just started teaching me, and or he say the same thing over and over. Now that's something I know that's something that I'm gonna need in relating to him. That's something that's gonna be very key, and I got to get a hold on it. I got to be just as determined as Ruth was,
Jesus.
And I put that on the chop shelf. That's what I'm gonna put my greatest efforts in doing this vision or. making sure I'm faithful with this word or this teaching or whatever it is. These are things that I couldn't know to pray for, but he started teaching me things. He did when he taught me about following God and the importance of it. And people didn't always take it seriously, but I saw the revelation side. He would write down, he would have me write down what would happen in a pastor's life if he obeyed him perfectly. Then I contrasted with what would happen if he didn't. So I was always motivated to get this. I wanted to see it in fruition. Mm-hmm. But people do what's, you know, the tradition, sometimes what you're focusing on becomes bigger than bigger than God. Unless you look at him, then God will be big like he's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So, and I notice all the other prophets, they'd say the word of the Lord came to me saying.
Yes.
They didn't pray for it. They didn't know to ask for it. But the word of the Lord came to them saying. And that became what was key. It happened with in chapter 6, the blindness that Isaiah blinded Israel. Chapter 7, when he first mentioned the first mention of Jesus. In verse 8, he talked about Emmanuel.
Yeah.
These things came to him. He didn't know to pray for it, but the Lord revealed it. So what the Lord reveals to you, there's a format in that instruction. And the format is always in the instruction. As you're faithful with it, God reveals it over
time.
That's
true.
And I took this assignment serious because I saw what would happen in anybody's life who will go in prayer, go before the Lord, and then whatever he revealed to you, be just as determined as Ruth was to Naomi.
That's right.
And don't go back to what you used to, like Orpah did. it's easy and it's a greater challenge to go back to what you used to.
Amen.
But you got to go to something greater.
Yes.
That you can't see yet.
Yes. By faith.
By faith.
Yes.
The vision is worked by faith.
Yes.
And you'll see it over time. And so we out of time. Dear Lord, I thank you for all the word that you've generously brought forth today through your people. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in all of us. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to finish the work and do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord.